Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Well, we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew as we finished our conversation regarding the things that you don't say on the first date. Yes. Wow. So, you kind of eating a lot. Yeah, those are not the things you want to say on the first date. Yes, you know, it's just certain things you just don't want to pull out your arsenal on the first date. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to scare the people away. So you got to make sure there are things you just don't share. You know, we kind of migrated into a different conversation, a little more enhanced. And those were the things that you don't do, places you don't go on a first date. Yes. Why are we going to someone's house on the first date? No, that's a big no-no. You don't do that. Just might end up in a compromising position or worse, in danger. Yes. So, you know, we want to be smart when we do these things, especially this dating thing. We don't want to lose our head. Okay? So, let's make sure we do what we're supposed to do, say what we're supposed to say on the first date, and guess what? You will be all right. Well, we could not finish our Monday and shake the Monday morning blues properly without our switch tip for the week. Make your choice every day. Yes. You don't want other people to make the choice for you. You don't want to get up and make the choice for the week. No. We got to get up every day, and we have to consult the Lord and make sure we're making the right decisions as we go along each and every day. Yes, every day you make a decision to choose Jesus as your personal Savior. You cannot get up and just go about your day and don't even make the decision to give God your life that day. Because let me tell you something. Each day, the day gets harder and harder to go through when you do not make Jesus first in the day. Yes. So you want to make sure you're doing those things properly. Okay? All right. So we moseyed on down to Tuesday. Let's talk about it. Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And everybody was in attendance. Amen. And we talked about those competing testimony times. Yes. Pastor Charlene, I believe, was the one. Oh, no. Pastor Ed was the one who asked, you know, why is it that when people get up, everybody got a competition in their mouth, even the testimony time. How you trying to outdo one another with what God has done with you, for you, about you? Yeah, no, we want to make sure that we tell the truth. We want to make sure we're not stretching the truth. And we want to make sure we're giving God his proper glory. Okay, come on, come on. We can't pad testimony time. What you doing? Come on, people. All righty. Wow. We moved over to Wow Wednesday. Yep. And wow is what it was as the listeners sent in the articles, and our girlfriend Vivian, she grabbed them up and followed right into the morning and gave us first those COVID crazy numbers. We got 35,000 plus for Florida in one day, and we have at least 21,000 plus in Texas in 1 week. Well, you know, we got a mixture of stuff. You know, the more I read, the more I see about this Delta variant and another COVID-19 culprit rolling around. And, you know, we're just not ready. We're just not ready. We started removing masks because we thought it was fine. And it's not fine, people. Quite a few of the states are now talking about a mask mandate. Yes, because God forbid we go back to where we were last year this time. Yeah, we don't ever want to see that happen again, right? All right. So that way we have to make sure we take care of ourselves. Well, we talked about the Norwegian woman in the Olympics who decided that she was not going to wear that bikini. And they fined the whole team $17,000. Mm-hmm. We talked about the six-year-old who was arrested for picking tulips. Yes, this world has gone, insane. And we ended up sliding that over into the conversation, you know, with the women of worship. And the video giving the lesson on how to clean a chicken with Clorox bleach and dishwashing liquid. Now, I know we're looking for a different recipe and a different taste, but that is surely not the way to get it. And our ladies believe that, you know, maybe that was some kind of ploy to get attention. I say, well, even if it is, unfortunately, there's going to be somebody out there who gives it a try. So we can't get on the YouTube and things like that giving out these crazy solutions and regimens and things like that, because somebody will actually take us up on it. Yes. Okay. Well, Dwayne dropped by for our techie talk, and we close down Wednesday, as always, with our Faith Over Fear segment from our pastor, Charlene Beard. Okay. Thursday rolled around, and it was Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. And we talked about, what else? Fake people. Yes, man, if that don't take you through a head game, I don't know what will. Yeah, you got to try to figure out who's fake, and then after you find out too late who's fake, now you got to try to recover from who's fake. Yeah, that's definitely a topic for Therapeutic Thursday. Okay, so the due time crew was in effect yesterday. So, I tell you, after a recap like that, you want to go ahead and say, right, go back and listen to all the week's past episodes. Yes, we cracked up yesterday. Oh, we cracked up yesterday. And, you know, we always have a good time each and every day over here on this due time with Pastor Steph. And today is no different, as we have just been ushered into Freestyle Friday, the day we get to do whatever we want to do. Well, talk to the men is what we're going to do today, yes. And we have some good conversation going on. All right, so, you know, we have been on top of it all week, and, you know, we don't have a list today, and no, I'm going to, you know, talk about some other stuff, some stuff you might be interested in hearing, and some stuff that, you know, you might want to comment on, so please make sure you keep that number handy, 347-285-7777. Hit Shantice up and let her know what you're thinking. Okay, you listen, I don't have to invite you. You're already family. You're already here. So you might as well join the conversation. Okay? Let her know you got something to say, and we'll definitely get her to relay the message for us. Okay? Come on, don't sit there and just think it. Send it over. All right? You've been great all week with doing so, and we're so looking forward to continuing that trend throughout the day, you know, so or throughout our morning. Okay? So let's wrap up the week with a bang. I'm looking forward to it. We're getting ready to take that break. You know how we do. And we want to make sure that you get that healthy breakfast reminder. And, hey, make sure you text and call a friend while you're at it. You just can't take a break to eat. Come on. Come on. That's lame. Come on. We're over here working and you're eating. Come on. Help us out. All right? Well, we will be right back.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital. I feel like a fish with no water.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Freestyle Friday. Yes, today we do whatever we want to do, and we generally give the day to our men, okay? So we want to make sure we continue to do that, but before we do that, you know how we do. We got to get some news in our system. Okay? All right. So, first let me say thank you for joining us today. You know, couldn't do it without you. Now, I love that little asthma PSA with our little children. Do you hear how he says hospital? Yeah, they so little they can't even say the word hospital well. Can you imagine being so little and having a hard time breathing? Oh, we got to keep them lifted in prayer. Well, speaking of children, 31 children under 12 test positive for COVID. 31 children. Okay, now this sounds like last year. Why are you sending children away to sleepaway camp? Really? Come on. 31 children under the age of 12. Now, remember now, they're the ones who are not really able to receive the vaccine. So why would you bother to send your child away to sleepaway camp? They already have, you know, they're already at high risk. Okay? Now, this is in New York. And, they are really not doing well out there. They say they took some tests and at 31 came back and they were positive. So, of course, now everybody's on high alert because now you've been exposed to the other children. So what happens when these people go home? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Last year? Yeah. When the camps were getting infected, when people would take the chance and send them away. Well, it's the same thing this time, people. I'm sorry. Just because they're masks and remember now, these children are sleeping. You don't know what they're doing, how close in contact they're coming. They're not sleeping in masks. Are y'all serious? I don't know. I mean, come on. Come on, come on. Well, I wanted to share something with you. Now, remember we talked all week, we've been talking about the attire of the Olympians, you know, that the runners are now running in bikini shorts, and we had the Norwegian Olympian who opted to wear the shorts instead of the bikini, and everybody was fined. And then we had the Paralympian who in Norwegian was told that her shorts were too short. Yeah, they've been going buck wild with the attire. Well, the Germans have said, they are wearing long attire. Yes, they're wearing some attire. I can't think of what they're called, but their attire is down to their ankles or their calf. Yep. And they have taken a stand against this sexist move of requiring them to wear this attire. Yeah, what is that about? Well, shout out to the Germans who said, we're not dealing with this nonsense. We're covering up. Yes. So guess what? They're going to the Olympics covered up, and they show their new attire, and it looks fantastic. It resembles leggings, but it's a one-piece. Yeah. So I really, and I mean, it's all over the news. All over the news how people are really now taking this, especially the women. You know, they're taking a stand against this here, and come on. We have young ladies in the Olympics that are as young as 15 years old. So what are you doing? Yesterday, I looked at a video of a swimmer, and she had on a full bodysuit that went down to her calf. So if she could swim in that, oh, you definitely can, you know, design something or allow them to wear something that covers their body. Come on. You can do it. If she can swim in it, oh, yeah. They can do gymnastics. They can run. Yeah, they can do everything. And it was very thin, needless to say, because she has to swim in it. Okay? All righty. So, what else are we going to talk about this morning? Okay. So, you know, we talked earlier this week. Vivian brought us the story of the young boy, 6 years old, who was arrested for picking flowers. And we took a poll, and we agreed that, well, more people agreed that the one who called the cops were crazier than the cops who actually came out and arrested the little boy. Well, how you like this story? This story is about a man who was walking, you know, walking the street with his little lawnmower, and he spotted a gentleman in his car, a neighbor in his car, who was having a seizure. He was in convulsions. And he ran over to the car, and he tried to stop the car, you know, hold the bumper, hold the car. I guess it really wasn't going fast because maybe the driver's foot was no longer on the gas. And it looked really, really bad. Well enough for the man to want to try to stop his car. The Good Samaritan tried to stop the car. And he finally was able to stop the car when it went onto someone's lawn. So he's banging on the door, and the windows, because come to find out, both the window was up and the door was locked. And he's banging, 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 banging. And the owners of the house was yelling at the man, who they're calling Tony, get off our lawn, get that man out of here, have him die somewhere else. Oh, my goodness. Really? Let me say that to you again, just in case you didn't get that one. They yelled at Tony to get off our lawn, get that man out of here, have him die someplace else. Isn't that something? Oh, they're disgusting. This people and their lawn is disgusting. You're calling for six-year-olds to get arrested, then you want the man to die someplace else? That was more important than you getting on a phone and calling 911? Are y'all man? This is just too much. This is just too much. And this is exactly why the vote was for the crazier one being the one who called the cops. Because at that time, they actually took the time to call 911 to get a 6-year-old arrested. Or at least the police to address this issue of a 6-year-old picking flowers from the lawn. Now, you could care less whether the man is dying. Now, here's the thing. You yelled from where you were to get him out of there and have him die somewhere else. So that meant you actually was watching this convulsion and this seizure going on. You had to see what was going on. How were you able to say, let him die someplace else? Oh, my gosh. What is the matter? What's the matter with these people? Help me. Give me a holler, 347-285-7777, and let us know what's wrong with this story. Are we becoming that desensitized that we don't even care as long as our lawn looks good? Well, how about you just drop dead someplace else? And I'm not saying I wish it, but, you know, they say when you dig one ditch, you better dig two. So here you're calling for somebody to die someplace else, and how about God close your eyes? You know, man, come on. They are a bit much. Well, what ended up happening was, Tony ended up recognizing the neighbor in the car, ran to his house, got the wife. They called 911, and the man was, he ended up being okay. The neighbor was okay at the end of the day. He did ask the police, you know, who the man was, and they did reveal who Tony was. And he wanted to give Tony a hug, and that's what he did. He tracked Tony down and gave him one big hug. And you know, that reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. Yeah. Where, you know, all the people walked by the man who had been, you know, mugged, and including the priest, just walked on by the man laying there, and it took just one Good Samaritan to actually come and tend to this man's needs. And he took him to a hotel, paid the bill. You know, come on. You know, this is this type of stuff that we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be calling for someone's death. I mean, get him out of here. Let him die someplace else. I was done. You know, you don't always have the best neighbors, but goodness gracious, at least we can have some neighbors that care enough to call 911, God forbid, we're in distress. Well, these neighbors weren't. I'm trying to see where it was. Let's see where this took place. It's not really saying. It's saying some county, but I don't know where this county was. Well, hopefully it's not your county. How about that? Yeah. So start praying. You know, we always talk about praying. Well, you know, each and every day here on this due time with Pastor Steph, we always find another reason to pray. And if this is not a reason to pray for your neighbors, you know, I think about how when I was sick, how my neighbors came over and they brought me food and they prayed with me. And yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, not worrying about the lawn, people. Not worrying about the lawn. All righty. Well, back to an Olympic story. So I'm sure all of you have heard that the opening ceremony is up in chaos now because the organizer of the opening ceremony was fired at the last minute. And they're now scrambling around because they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, how they're going to handle this. Well, I want to talk to you about why this individual was, what do you call it, fired. Okay? Well, he was fired. Are you ready for this? Because back in the 90s, he made a very poor joke, and in his comedy act, he said, let me make sure I quote him correctly, he cut up a paper, you know how you cut the paper, the little stick figures things, okay? Well, he cut up the stick figures and said something to the effect of, let's play Holocaust with the Jews. Yeah. He made fun of the fact that back in the day that there was, you know, the Jews, there were the Jews who had the genocide going on, yeah. And he said, how about we play that? Let's play Holocaust. And somebody posted, now this is 2021, and somebody posted that comedy act. And now they fired him because they said we can't have people like that making jokes, you know, when it comes to such a sensitive subject. Now, I got a question. This is not the first time we've heard of people bringing up something old, you know, from someone's stand-up act. And this was back from the 90s. So, we're talking over 20 years? Yeah. Because 90 to 2000 is 10, yeah. So we're talking about over 20 years that this was said. Now, what do you think? Do you think that he should have been fired because they don't need any negativity from that statement back then? Come on, so you should be hitting me up twice. Let's talk about this thing. I need you to hit me up twice. Okay, he says, let's massacre Jewish people game. That's the name of the skit that he did. Let's play a Holocaust. Let's massacre Jewish people game. Now, I'm not saying that he does not feel this way now, because I don't think anybody asked him. I've read several articles. I don't see where anyone asked, you know, what he was thinking during the time, how he felt, if he would do it again, you know, does he have any remorse? I don't see any of that, any of those kind of questions going on. Okay? So, what do you think? Do you think he should have been fired, or do you think he should have been left alone? And, well, you know, people are going to post. People are going to post. So that's not, you know, you can't stop people from posting. Because, you know, somebody's going to always dredge up your past. But how do you think it should have been handled? I want to know. Because I remember Kevin Hart having this issue. And I believe it was about gay people. I think it was about gay people. And he cut a joke in one of his comedy sketches. I think it was like 14 years earlier, like quite a few years earlier. And somebody brought it up, and they wanted him to apologize. And he said, absolutely not. I am not apologizing for this at all. It was something that I said back then, and I'm not apologizing for something that I said in my skit. You know, I've grown and I've matured since then, and you're bringing up something that, you know, I did back then. I was a different person back then. Leave me alone. Enjoy my comedy now. Or don't. But what I'm not going to do is apologize. Now, they're also bringing up the fact that there were some other comments that were made, not by this particular gentleman, but there were other comments made by other people who have, you know, some type of, I guess, influence or whatever, and they talked about, you know, someone being overweight in the Olympics, and, you know, one of the participants. And there was some other comedy or comments that were made that they said that, you know, it should not have been made. I'm getting a little tongue-tied. That should not have been made. But this one was the one that was made by someone who... Now, this is just a coordinator. This is the other thing I want to ask about. This is just a person who... And please understand what I mean when I say just a person. He's the director of the opening ceremony. Okay? He's the director of the opening ceremony. 20 years later. Okay? So tell me what you're thinking. Help me out here. Okay? All right. Let's talk to our gentleman. About that time, we have a conversation with them. So let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, thank you.
That's good, that's good. So, we're talking about some things today, and you're just joining us, so you missed it. But, you know what, how about we come back to you? How about we come back to you? That way you get an opportunity to hear what the other stories were. Okay? So
yes,
you just
ma'am. Yes,
hang
ma'am.
On. Hang on. I'll leave your mic live, but I'll come back to you. Okay? All righty. Brother Al, good morning to you.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chickity chop, chop of the morning. Oh, yeah. Good to hear your voice, Pastor Kel. Glad you're feeling all right, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Hey, good morning, Brother Al. We got a couple of stories to talk about. Well, we're talking about the homeowners who yelled at the Good Samaritan. Now, let me go over the story again because I don't think Minister AJ was on either. But you had one of the neighbors walking down the lane with his little lawn mower, and he noticed a gentleman in a car who was having a seizure, and the seizure appeared to be a really bad one. Well, the car was going rather slowly, so he tried to stop the car with the bumper, you know, I guess holding on or whatever, and it finally rolled on someone's lawn and stopped. And he was banging on the window because he then found out that the door was locked. The window was rolled up. Windows were rolled up, and he couldn't get it. So he's banging on the car. And I guess maybe to try to get him to somehow roll the window down or unlock the door, something another. And the neighbors whose lawn the car was on yelled, "Hey, get that car out of here. Get that man out of here. Let him die somewhere else. Get off our lawn." Brother Al, what we gonna do with folks? Now, you done already arrested the six-year-old for pulling the tulips. Now, you're hoping, instead of you calling 911, because clearly you saw the man in distress, if you were able to say, "Hey, let him die somewhere else," you clearly knew the man was in distress. What's your thought?
Man, you know, I was sitting here and I'm listening to the stories and I'm seeing all the stuff that's going on. And, you know, and honestly, it's sad. You know, it's sad that, you know, people just don't have no respect for human life no more. You know, you're worrying about a lawn. And instead of just saying, obviously, okay, you see the car going slow and the car go up on somebody's lawn. So that's common sense to say, okay, you know what, there's an issue. That's not something normal. Let me see what's going on. And then once you saw the man, hey, okay, let me call 911. But excuse me, don't die on this lawn. Could you go to that one over there? You know, like, come on, are you serious? It just, I'm listening to the story and it just making me stomach that people just don't care about other people, man. It's sad. I'm just like, wow. Like, really? Don't die on my lawn. For you to say that to somebody, I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Go die somewhere else. Get off our lawn. Get the man out of here. Have him die somewhere else. Ah, okay.
Man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
All right. Brother Al, we've got the opening ceremony now in its upheaval because they fired the director for a 20-year-old joke, pretty much. And what he said was, let me get this together. He cut up a paper mache, you know, of the string people that's connected. And he says, let's play Holocaust. Let's play Holocaust. Let's play massacre Jewish people game. And someone posted it. And now they fired him because they don't want that association or that ill level of sensitivity reflecting on Tokyo. What do you think?
Now, do they say what side of the fence he was on?
he was Japanese.
He was Japanese and he said it. I would just curious about that. I don't think that he should have been fired. You know, if you had a problem with it, okay, I think you should have went to him. Okay, listen, you know, we saw something 20 years ago, and you know, just hear his side of the story. And it's 20 years ago he said it. Now, was it right that he said it? No, it wasn't, but he said it. So you know what, hey, listen, 20 years ago we found this post, like, you know what was going on. You know, it was a little offensive, and hear what he had to say. I don't think he should have got fired behind that at all.
Okay. Well, you know, someone quote-unquote leaked it. You know, they posted it. You know how people do you. And, so the powers that be caught it.
Now, what I'm thinking happened is it could be a couple things. Somebody jealous of him that he got that position, or he done made somebody mad. And it's like, you know what, I'll fix him. I'm going to put up something he said.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. People have all kind of reasons for, you know, going up and pulling up your history and things like that. So, yeah, could have been either one of those. Could have been something else. Yeah. Okay, but your vote says no, he should not have gotten fired. Okay. Thank you. All right. Come on, I want to hear from our listeners, 347-285-7777. I want to hear what you think. Should he have gotten fired for it? Pastor KL, we're going to say good morning to you again. And we're going to hear what you got to say about the Good Samaritan, you know, helping the person and the owners of the lawn, saying, get that man up out of here. Let him die somewhere else.
Well, let me say this. You know, being born and raised in New York, I didn't have a lawn. You know, I didn't have that, no property. But, you know, here in Alabama, the cost of lawn care is expensive. And when you see something rolling up on your lawn after you just got it done, you're kind of concerned because the price of lawn care is expensive, and you don't want them messing up your lawn. But on a serious note, you know, I would not have said that. I would have got out myself and tried to either break the window or pry the window just to, you know, just to help the gentleman out if he was in distress like that. Yeah, I thought that was a little rude and uncaring and unneighborly. You know, he could have been the neighbor, you know, in your since he was in your area, and then you would have known who that person is. So yeah, I thought that was a bit crass.
Well, actually, come to find out, it was a local neighbor, because that's how the gentleman Tony, who was assisting. He recognized him and ran to his house and got the wife, and they called 911. So, yeah, if at a closer look, they may have recognized him. But at that time, they recognized that lawn was being destroyed. So that's what the first concern that they had. That's the first concern they had. All right.
Probably going to be lawn people.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, we got a 20-year-old joke, at least. They say back in the 90s, there was a joke, let's play Holocaust, and let's play the Massacre Jewish People game. During his comedy skit, the director of Who is now the director, that's another piece that I want to make sure I put out there. Who is now the director of the opening ceremony games, and they fired him. What do you think?
Well, just as he was telling the joke, you know, I chuckled. I thought it was quite, you know, humorous. You know, so I thought it was funny. I think he's progressed. He's grown from it. And I mean, even by you saying that now he's a director, he's definitely progressed and grown from it. And he had to have been allowed to be the director for more than just his humor, you know, as a person, you know, from his profession or his professionalism. So now you want to pull him? Yeah, I think that was kind of wrong.
Okay. Yeah, because they did say that they made an apology. And they said they did not know he made that joke when they hired him. They had no idea that was part of his history. So giving inference, supposedly, and I'll say supposedly because you could say anything now, but supposedly that, oh, we wouldn't have hired him had we known he said that joke. Yeah, right. You would have cared said that joke. And he's got your lights going. Come on.
Right. So, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, I think their back might have been up against the wall by the people, and they were forced to do so.
Okay. All right, so that's two. He should not have gotten fired. Thank you, Pastor KL. Let's say good morning to our Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Yiggity yang.
Ah. Excuse me. Ah, help us with these two situations, Minister AJ. We have the homeowners who were like, hey, get them up out of here. Let them die someplace else. What are we saying these days?
Yeah, that's really rude. It's, you know, it's disrespectful on types of levels, and it's just crazy. It's inconsiderate, definitely selfish. I remember growing up, and one time this man lost control of the car, and his car ended up against my house. It was very scary, but we didn't, you know what I mean? We came to his aid to help him, you know, help him out, because it was a scary situation. I don't know, his gas pedal fell, something, or brake, whatever it was. He ended up going through the gate and up against the house.
Wow.
And it was crazy, you know. So, you know, but it was an opportunity for us to help somebody. And, you know, if somebody is in distress, you should take the opportunity to help them. Don't sit there and, you know, because what if it was you? You know, it could be your
mm-hmm.
turn 2 days from now, you know, and what would you want somebody to do? So that was very rude and inconsiderate and definitely selfish.
The other story,
I'm kind of on the fence. About it, because there's some things, the Holocaust was something serious, so I think some things you just should never joke about, you know. You know, or
I'm sorry, are you building a house over there, Pastor Kale? Is that you?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought I was on mute. I'm sorry, I had another call. I'm on mute now.
Thank you. Well, thank you. All right, he wants to build a house to replace, you know, some stuff. But, all right, go ahead. We're sorry. Minister AJ, go ahead.
Yeah, the other one I'm kind of on the fence about, because I joke a lot, but there's some things I'm not going to touch. And if I'm going to touch it, it'll only be around a certain group of people. You know, nothing written down, nothing out in the public. So I'm kind of on the fence about that. Holocaust is kind of serious, so I think it's something that should have been left alone.
When you say left alone, meaning in the joke, in the skit?
Yeah, definitely not in a skit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost
right.
like when the George Floyd thing happened and then people were trying to do skits in it. It just didn't look right. It just wasn't. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't flavorful. You know, it just wasn't a good thing, you know. So I think it should have been left alone. Should he have gotten
fired?
I
think all of us,
I mean.
Right, that's the question. Because I think in at the end of the day, we're all agreeing with you that, you know, it was a very poor joke, you know, to, you know, talk about and make fun of the Holocaust. The bigger question is, you know, should he have gotten fired in 2021 for a joke that he made back in the 1990s?
I'm kind of on the fence, but I'm gonna go with yeah. There's
okay.
some things you just shouldn't touch.
Okay.
It's just like now when they look at our Facebook page now, and I've been one who's always been careful of what I put on my Facebook page. People be like, "Yo, you need to fix your page up because you need to put ad on. You need to do this." But they, I've always been cautious of what I put up here. So I'm gonna go with yeah on it. Yeah, that's
okay.
Something you should have just never touched. Period.
Okay.
Get them out of here.
All right, so we got two. All right, we got 2-1 that says, "Hey, yes, I think he should have been fired for such a poor joke." And then you have the other two that say, "No, you know, it's been that kind of time, and we shouldn't be addressing that now." Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen, for weighing in on those particular things. We're going to talk today about things a man needs to bring to the relationship. And let me rephrase that to make sure I say it, because it's not the way it sounded. So let me just say it differently. Okay, so the things that a man needs to have done before he enters a relationship. Okay? All right. That's a different, definitely different than when I said it the first time. All right. So these are the things that a man needs to have already taken care of before he gets in a relationship. Okay? So let's start off with the basics. He needs a job. Would you agree, Pastor KL?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. He definitely needs a job. Before he even considers getting into a relationship. Because, I mean, you know, when you get into a relationship, you want to think long-term and not just today. So basically, if I can't take care of myself, I'm surely not going to be able to take care of you. And then now these days, when you get into a relationship, I mean, depending on the age you are, you don't really meet a woman who don't have children now these days. So I can't take care of me, I can't take care of you, and I can't take care of the children. So, yeah, you definitely need some type of stability as far as work.
Okay. Brother Al, what say you? He needs a job.
Absolutely. And of course, he needs a job. You know, how are you going to take care of somebody or help take care of somebody when you can't take care of yourself? So you definitely need to have a job. And now if you don't got a job, that means you ain't really got too much place to stay or stuff like that. So you definitely need a job.
All righty. Minister AJ, you know, they're saying you need to have that job before you enter the relationship. What's your thought?
Absolutely. I mean, a job, for me, the breakdown of it is the work ethics. What are your work ethics like? And I used to always tell young people in the church, listen, you know, if he don't go to school consistently, ain't no way in the world he going to take care of baby, you know. But, and it's the same thing with a man. If a man does not go to work consistently, been on my son about that since the age of 13, 14, you need to work. Because it's all about your work ethics. When you got good work ethics, there's nothing that you can't do. And guess what? Even Jesus, when he was calling people, they had jobs. Matthew, the tax collector, they had the fishermen. They had jobs. They were already working. You know, what can God do with you if you don't have no work ethics?
Okay. Let's see what else they're saying. They say that you should love your time alone. You should love that alone time before you get into a relationship. Now, that's an interesting one. What do you say, Brother Al?
That is very interesting here. Alone time. I'm going to disagree with that. Some people don't like being alone. You know, some people don't like being alone like that. So I really think it depend on the person. You know, you got some people who just say like, hey, I'm okay. I've been by myself for about 10 minutes. All right, I need to be around somebody. So I'm on the fence with that, but I'm going to kind of say I disagree with that.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying that a person should not enjoy their alone time before they get into a relationship. Is that what you're saying?
But you know, now you're putting it that way. I'm gonna change that. Yeah, he should enjoy it a long time. He should. Or she.
Okay. No, he. We talking about the man today.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah. He should. Okay. Yeah,
Okay. Yes. So I'm asking, you know, the things that a man needs to have already before he enters a relationship, he needs to already enjoy his alone time. So you're saying...
Okay, yeah, I got it now. I got it now.
Okay.
I took it a different way, but I got it. So I'm saying, yes, he should enjoy that alone time, because I'm thinking, like, if he didn't enjoy his alone time, now he with somebody and he enjoyed his alone time, then he don't enjoy being with the woman. So I would say, yes, he should be able to have that before the relationship, enjoying his alone time, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Minister AJ, what do you say? Alone time is the name of the game. You should already have that in your arsenal. Correct?
Correct. When do you have time to invest in yourself? When do you have time to think and properly break down even what's going on in your personal life? Sometimes we wait into drama and trauma, and then we want to play love songs and play songs in the background and think about everything that has happened. You know what I'm saying? And technically, you're still not at a good place because you're only doing it because of what you're going through. But alone time, you have time to invest in yourself. You have time to study. Build you. And you need to have that time because what's going to happen when you get into a relationship? If you haven't spent alone time with yourself and learned how to love yourself, how do you know how to love somebody else? How do you know how to now put love across the table if you've never invested it in yourself, if you've never dealt with self? And that's the problem. You know, some people get into relationships and they only know how to deal with what the person is presenting because they've never spent time with themselves.
All right. Pastor KL.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I feel a kind of different way. You know, you have to have your alone time, first of all, because a lot of folks say, well, you know, I met this woman or I met this man and she completed me. Listen, no one completes you. You need to be completed before you get into a relationship. You need to be a whole person before you get into a relationship. And sometimes that alone time will help you to understand who you are. You can't understand who you are trying to find out who somebody else is. You're not completed if you need this person in your face all the time. You know, you have to give her attention. You have to be around her. You got to take the children to the park. You got to do all this stuff, and you never find out who you are. You don't even know if you want to be in a relationship. You think you want to be in a relationship because you don't understand who you are. The alone time will make you dissect, will make you look in the mirror, will make you analyze yourself so that you know who you are. So then you can be a great person to that next person. If you are not completed within yourself, you cannot help nobody else in the relationship.
All right. Okay. How about this one? I thought it was very interesting. They say you should have already mastered a way to keep jealousy from ruining your relationships. Minister AJ, what do you say about that one?
Absolutely. Nobody wants to be in a relationship with jealous people. And I think that also goes along with alone time. You know, are you going to have that mastered maybe in the first relationship? Maybe not. But at some point, you should master that. You need to get over that because the relationship is going to be hell. Okay, who on your phone? Who doing that? Okay, why are you doing that? And it's, yeah. And then guess what? If that's not mastered by the time you go into a relationship, I want to know where's your relationship with God, because I shall have no other gods before me. And he says, for I am a jealous God. So it starts with your relationship with God. If that's not mastered, then I want to know, because I wouldn't want to make God jealous. What would a jealous God do to me? So it starts, A, with your relationship with God. And then now, you know, if you're still walking around with a bunch of jealousy, I want to know where your relationship is with God. Because we got issues on all levels now, and the foundation is done.
Wow, okay. Pastor KL, you should have already mastered those things, that jealousy that ruins relationships.
Well, as my co-labor says, I mean, first of all, you can have a relationship with God, which will help you master it. But as you was going back for a long time, you know, again, jealousy is a form of insecurity. You know, when you find insecurity in your life, that means that you are not completed. You know, that means that you have not searched yourself. That means that you had to wait until you got into a situation to find out that you were jealous, that you had a jealous part in your body, which means you didn't search that situation. You know, so yes, you should master all these things because stuff is going to come up. Your counterpart is going to have friends of the other sex. So then what do you do then? At that point, do you have a fit? At that point, do you have issues in your relationship? That's because you're not secure with yourself. And that's because you're not complete.
Alrighty. Brother Al, what do you have to say about that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to have that mastered. You know, like my counterpart said, you know, jealousy will make you do some crazy things. And that's insecurity You know, I always say, no, not just my opinion. People are jealous you're insecure. Because, again, when you meet this person has, I'm quite sure, have friends of the opposite sex as well as you did before she met you met her. So you going in and you don't want her to go. You checking her phone. And I sit back. I see people who do that, and I'm just like, wow, like you're that insecure. And people don't understand that jealousy is a part of a person's makeup. That's a, if you meet somebody who's jealous, you're not changing that. That's not going to change. That's a part of who they are. And I got friends who did that. Oh, when I met him, he was jealous. Well, you think he's going to get rid of it? No, that is a part of his makeup. He is just straight insecure. And like you said, the relationship starts with the father upstairs. And then you go from there.
All right, all right. Gentlemen, you should have already learned how to manage your finances, Pastor KL.
Baby, if you can't manage your finance, when you find out when you will spend all that money for the wrong reason, just trying to impress, and then you're going to find yourself by yourself because you're not going to have no money. You're going to be out of a job because we risk things. We make financial risk when we quote unquote, not even in love, but when we quote unquote trying to impress somebody. And if you were not good paying rent or paying all your bills, if you were paying partial bills, you know, then you have not learned how to deal with your finances, because the partial bills you was paying piece here, the other piece is going somewhere else that you know you don't need to spend it on. So if you're not good with your money, no, baby, don't get in a relationship.
All righty. Brother Al, you should already learned how to master those finances.
Yes, you should have know how to master those finances, because if you don't know how to handle money, it's gonna be a serious situation. You know, you're gonna be broke all the time. You're gonna be asking your counterpart, "Hey, let me hold $10." The kid's gonna be going to the aunt and the grandmother to sign up for school and get that loan. So if you don't have that mastered, you know, you're gonna be in trouble. So you definitely gotta have that mastered.
All right, and Minister AJ.
Definitely have finances mastered. The Bible says I think it's in business, you know, be men. You know, and you know, that speaks to me everything that we've already started speaking. You know, what's your skill level? Do you even go to work? Because a slack hand will bring poverty. So if you're not good with your finances, chances are that ain't the only area. You know, chances are you ain't going to work. Chances are you ain't built a skill. You might not have gotten education. And then my question is it going to bring about jealousy? If I look across the table and you're handling your finances correct, and I'm not, is it going to bring jealousy? I may not understand why you save your money to buy valuable things, and then now I'm tearing you down because I done misused my finances. It happens. So sometimes even jealousy, going back to the last one, we look across the table, and a lot of times we're jealous because of how we handled our own selves. So you got to, yes, get you somebody who handles their finances right. And also, too, when people mishandle finances, a lot of times they don't think about the overall picture. It's, you know what, let me buy this shirt, buy these new shoes, da-da-da, and then now the light bill is not paid. So we got to be very careful.
All right. Here's one that I really like that's on this list, and I think we need to definitely address today. You really have had to master managing stress. Oh, Brother Al, what are we saying?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one, and that's relating straight to me on, you know, some situation that I'm dealing with now. You have to be able to manage manage your stress. And for me, managing the stress is talking with my partner about it, seeing how she feel about it, or seeing what words of encouragement that she can give me to keep pushing forward, or helping me, or come across some things that I didn't think about that she thought about. And because you can be stressed and don't want to be bothered, or be stressed and take it out on your partner. So you definitely have to be able to manage that, and you know, and try to come up with an idea on how to fix it, how to fix the situation that's giving you stress. So that's definitely something that you need to know how to manage.
All righty. Minister AJ, you have already had to get this together here. Managing your stress.
Absolutely. You know, you don't want nobody who doesn't know how to manage stress, because to me it goes back to point A, you know, and I heard one word when you said that, decisions. You know, sometimes our own decisions bring about stress, and stress is a silent killer. It'll kill you quicker than a lot of things sometimes. But I heard the word decisions, and a lot of times we're stressed out because A, we made decisions that got us into situations that cause us to be stressed, or A, we decide to take on the attitude and just accept the stress. Are you speaking against the stress? Are you speaking positive in the midst of the stress? So it's a lot of factors there that you got to pay attention to. You know, is this person speaking death and life? And, you know, are you speaking death into the situation, and that's what's caused you to be stressed? So A, decisions that they make to get them there, you know, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, you know, what are you doing to get out of this stress? You get what I'm saying? So a lot of components there. They definitely have to manage stress.
Okay. Pastor KL, what are you saying about this stress thing? It's got to be there before you get into the relationship. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. However, you know, people deal with stress differently. I'm better under stress. Very, 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 very well under stress, whether it's in relationship, whether it's at my job. If I have deadlines, I'm well under stress. Everybody can do that. So, yeah, you need to know what's your level, what's your cutoff, you know, what's going to take you to the other side. As Shantice always says, what's the trigger? You know, everybody doesn't need to be able to have that control before you get into a relationship.
All right. The next time you speak, we need you to be in a different area so your words are not cut off. We don't want to miss anything you're saying, Pastor KL, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. All righty. Oh, here we go. Here we go, a big one. You have already got to have this in control. Time management. Oh, my goodness gracious. Come on, Minister AJ. Gotta have that time management under control.
Absolutely. You know, do you want a man of God who's going to be in his word, who's going to be praying, so that by time he gets to you, he knows now how to handle you, because he's now known how to manage his time? Is he waiting for you to come home just to explode on you? Because guess what? He done had a bunch of idle time, and he's done nothing with that time. And if you will allow me, you gave me the word fake yesterday, and I want to tie that into stress and time management and break the word fake down.
Okay.
And that acronym stands for fake, abstract, kinship, expelling. Okay, so fake, abstract, kinship, expelling. And a lot of times when we don't have that real solid time with God, so we don't build that real kinship. And what does it end up doing? It because we have that form of godliness, we ain't really spent no time with the one who can direct us and navigate us through every aspect of life. We build fake kinship, and it expels us from the good things or from the purpose of God that he has for our lives. So here we go. Fake, abstract kinship, expelling. Make sure that your relationship, your time with God is exactly what you're portraying to people and, you know, and to people in the church, outside the church or whatever.
build that relationship so, you know, you don't fall flat on your face and they watch you be expelled from good things because your kinship and your time is not where it's supposed to be.
Mm. Wow. Thank you for backtracking. Thank you for backtracking. All righty. Pastor KL. We're talking about you need to get this time management under control before you get into a relationship. Are you talking to the mute button? Okay, we'll come back to Pastor
getting the time together. Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. I was talking to the mute button. I was talking to the mute
okay.
button.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't
what
want
you
to
got?
Hear that out. Well, time management is definitely a big piece of this whole thing, and it sounds like it's not, but it's really, really a big component, you know, to any kind of relationship. You know, when you wake up, you know, you need to have some type of idea of what you want to accomplish during that day, whether it's been so that it can be a productive day. You know, time goes by quickly. You know, people don't think so, but the time of the day goes by quickly. And if your time management skills is not developed before you get into a relationship, you know, because there's something that you young fellas is going to find out that's called a honey-do list. And sometimes you got stuff to do, and the honey-do list has stuff to do, and you have to be able to tie in time management well where you can get everything done so that it is a productive day. So you're not being stressed. You know, so, you know, we're not being financially challenged. We have to be able to be very, very productive.
All righty. Brother Al already mastered the time management thing. How essential is that before you get into a relationship?
Very, very essential. You know, people who know me know I got my schedule is just insane. But you also have to be in control of your time. You know, when I set a time, especially dealing with other people, if I set a time to do this and you miss that time, then ain't no, okay, I'm running late. We supposed to meet at 4, but we're going to do it at 6. No, your time was at 4. And so we're going to have to fit you in some another time. But you have to be also in control of your time. Because, again, when you make time to take care of all the things that you do, your life will run a little smoothly. Now, of course, sometimes things happen. You know, we know that. But when you're in control of that time and you have your foot down like this is how this is going to work, then you're good. Because then also, too, you got to have that time to spend with your significant other. You know, you can't keep putting her on the back burner. You can't keep doing that. Because you keep doing that, that ain't going in too well for you. So you definitely got to be able to, you know, have that time management done.
All righty. Gentlemen, we're stepping into the world of make sure you have already pursued your passions and made them a priority before you get into the relationship. Pastor KL, agree or disagree?
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. I mean, because, you know, you could want to be that rapper. And all of a sudden you meet somebody with a woman and children, and that kind of cuts out all of that, you know, and then you become mad at her, you know, because you feel that, you know, she stops you from fulfilling your dream. So, yeah, you need to pursue all that you're going to pursue and make sure that one, there's an understanding, or make sure that two, it's out of your system. You know, saying I wanted to be a golden singer forever, a star. You know, but you know, after a while, that just wasn't happening anymore. So it became up in my life where I had to accept it and adjust my life. You know, some folks have these dreams that last forever, and there's nothing wrong with dreaming, but you got to be able to prioritize the thing that's in your life. Sometimes before and over your dream.
All righty. Brother Al, what say you?
I'm going to go the opposite way with that. And the reason I say that is because it's happened to me. Sometimes you're pursuing something, your passion. This is something I want to do. I want to get this done. I want to get this done. And you're trying to get that done. But then you meet somebody. And in the process that you met that person, an opportunity arises for you to take care of that situation. I'm a perfect example of that. Me graduating from college. This is something I've been trying to get done for 30 years. I've been wanting to get this done. I want my degree. This didn't happen until I got into a relationship. And once I got in a relationship, the opportunity had arise for me to make that happen. I've been doing my acting and stuff like that, wanting to get into certain things. The opportunity has arise now while I'm in a relationship to shoot my first film. So sometimes you're trying to do certain things and then the opportunity don't come at that time. And it just happened to come around when you're in a relationship. Again, it goes back to the time management. Okay, how I'm going to do both without getting her upset or got my time all over the place. So I have to disagree with that.
All righty. All righty, Minister AJ. What say you? Pursue those passions.
I agree with
before.
Yeah, I agree with it. I agree with it because that could determine whether or not she even decides to be in a relationship with you. She might not want to hang out with a clown. You know, she might not want to be with a clown. You know, she might not want to be with the bear behind the tricks of the gags or the red nose. So fulfill your passions. And then sometimes it's harder. I remember when I got married, trying to go to school. It just didn't work. Kids, marriage, it didn't work. It did not work. So a lot of those things you should take care of before you get into it. And, you know, sometimes people choose based on how they see your passion, even about your purpose. And they may not want to aid you, you know what I'm saying, assist you in what you're called to do. So absolutely, get it done before.
All righty. I like this one. I like this one. Before you get into a relationship, check your baggage. Ooh. Brother Al, we're starting with you.
Oh, yeah. Open up that suitcase and see what's in it.
Oh,
you definitely
wow.
need to. You definitely need to. You definitely need to see what you're getting yourself into, you know, as well as her. Okay, you may be getting in the, oh, I like her, you meet her, she got four kids. Do you want to deal with that? It's some stuff coming with that, you know? So you definitely need to see what you're getting yourself into and seeing if you can handle it. Some people may be okay with it. Some people like, oh, no, I got to deal with baby daddies. No. So you definitely need to check that before you get involved. Definitely.
Now, we want to make sure you're following this correctly. You're checking your baggage, not checking her baggage. Checking your baggage alone, not hers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I got you on that. Yeah. I still feel the same way. Definitely, like you got to check your baggage. What baggage are you bringing into this relationship? You know, what baggage are you bringing? Hey, listen, I got a son. And the mama crazy. I'm letting you know off top, and I'm working on fixing that. But this is what I'm going through. So you definitely need to try to check your baggage before you get involved with that person. It's only fair to the other person to let them know what's going on with you. Don't make the decision for them. Let them decide. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna take that walk with you. Or they say, hey, listen, I don't think I can deal with that. But give that person a choice.
Okie dokie. Minister AJ, check your baggage before you get involved in a relationship.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to now, even at the airport, you know, I haven't done a whole lot of travel, but one of the worst parts about the airport experience is waiting for your baggage, you know, one of the worst experiences. And when you get into a relationship, people don't want, you know, to deal with the baggage all the time. And then, are you treating me, you know, foul or rude because of what you've been through? Check, you know, what's going on with you first. Get healed. That's another thing. Because usually hurt people. So get healed, get delivered, get set free, get yourself together. So also that you don't miss out on a good opportunity treating Sheila like Mary, Shaniqua,
Salvationella, and the rest of them. You know what I mean? You know, get over what they've done to you so you can live properly. You know? So, there it is.
All righty, all righty. Pastor Kale, how essential is it that you, as a man, get rid of your baggage before you enter a relationship?
Okay, so everything that we've been saying, it has tied in. I mean, and it all equivalent is equivalent to baggage. You know, when you're insecure, that's baggage. You know what I mean? When your financial is disrupted because you can't handle it, that becomes a baggage. You know, when you're not goal driven, that is baggage. And then as I think Brother Al says, you know, now I got five kids with five baby mamas. And at any time, they can even trip. So that's baggage. So you got to have all that under control before you even decide to deal with a woman, because all of that comes with you. I think Erykah Badu sang a song, Bag Lady. Well, Bag Man. You know, you walk with all this baggage, and you can't be set free. You can't be delivered because you have not put those baggages into proper perspective. They are not under control. They're not under subjective. So at any time, your bag can overflow wherever your space is. And no one wants to live in clutter. Baggage is clutter. No one wants to survive in clutter. You know, they got people that call hoarders who constantly just keeps on bringing bags and constantly keeps on bringing bags. And whoever they're involved with has to be able to deal with, this is who I am. But some folks don't want to deal with the who I am in the baggage world. So you got to have your baggage under control.
All righty. Sounds like you well over there. You don't sound like you sick. All righty now. All righty now. All righty. You need to have that communication skill in check. Got to have the communication skill in check. Minister AJ.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got to have somebody is of utmost importance that can communicate with you. You know, when they go to put some sentences together, you don't always want to hear, I'm tired. You just woke up, and because your sentences ain't going right, you talking about you tired. We don't want to hear it. You know, get the communication together, you know, before, and they got everything now. Rosetta Stones, they got interpretations, they got everything to help you. Get your grammar together. Nobody want to hear all these misplaced words and sentences, you know, and also how you communicate. There's some men who don't want to yell and scream, you know. There's some men who just want to have good conversations, converse. You understand what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying. We work together well, and we move on in life. Not everything being an argument. Because even because you want a defensive, because you're insecure about your own communication. So work on it. Work on it.
Okay, so now that you got that off your chest, we're going to talk about the man. We're not talking about
her. The man.
We're talking about you.
All right, well.
These are the things that the man needs to have in check.
All right. Well, somebody needed to hear that. You know what? If I went that route, somebody did. Okay, the man needs to have good communication, because my question is, as the man, how do you lead your family if you don't have good communication, if you're not clear, if you don't know how to communicate? How do you lead out? And then again, I relate that back to God. Are you communicating with God? Because God will definitely instruct you how to lead your family better than any other man can teach you. So, yes, of utmost importance. Can't lead without good communication.
See how vital that piece of information was for the men?
That's true.
Very
That's
good.
True.
Very
That's true.
Good.
That's true.
Come on, Pastor KL. We're talking about that communication thing and how that may, you got to have this under control before you get into a relationship.
Yes, you definitely do. I mean, and for men are extreme. They're either extremely quiet or they're extremely vocal. There's no in between sometimes with a man. Because they have not have that under control. They're either once they get fed up, they're screaming and yelling, and that's a part of their communication because that's all they know or that's all they've grown up with. They saw their daddy do it, or they're docile and let the woman do whatever they want to do. And then when stuff is not productive, it's because they don't know how to respond to the woman. So yeah, it's very important that you get this piece together because it'll make or break your relationship.
All righty. And Brother Al, you always talk about this communication thing. How essential is it that the man have this under control before he gets into a relationship?
Oh, yes. That's very, very, very important. And, you know, and it comes down, what I always say about the communication, it's humbling yourself. You know, like, as a man, you know, okay, you got to admit sometimes, hey, you know what? I did come out a little wrong. You know what? I was wrong for saying that. You know, that helps. So the communication, you can't sit back and just hold it in because it's going to come out. And I've been there, and that's what put me on that communication level. I don't care what it is, I'm going to say it. Because you hold it in and hold it, as you hold it in and hold it in, it goes back to everything we said. Now you got distressed. Now you're walking around angry. You know, so that communication is so important, you know, with the man. Hey, say what you feel. Speak on how you feel. You know, it's definitely something that you must do.
All righty. Okay. Pastor KL, we're back to you. Before you get into a relationship, a man needs to be a protector of everything in his care. How essential is that? Are you talking to the mute button again?
Oh, God, I saw the mute button again. Okay, I'm going to say it again. That's very, very, very important because we were made to protect. You know, that's who we are. That is our first and utmost responsibility. So if you don't know how to deal with that, if you don't know how to deal with the arms of protection, then you've already failed at your job. You've already failed at the provider. Because if you can't protect, you can't provide. You know, if you can't protect, you know, you can't talk to that son. You can't talk to that daughter because you don't know how to deal with their hurt. If you can't protect their heart or protect or cover their fall, then you've already lost half the battle. So before you walk into any area of a relationship, even with a relationship with your sister, with your mother, your job is still, even though you're the brother, even though you're the son, your job is still to protect. We were made to protect. So forget about your loved ones. You know, this is who you are in general as a man. Your job is to protect. You protect your friends, you know, your real friends, that is. You protect the people that are in your circle. That is your job. Remember, no matter whether it's I love you and I'm going to be your wife, every common talk, conversation is a relationship. So all of these are relationships. People on my job, though they work for me, you know, we're in a relationship. And if somebody comes into my store and talks to them in the wrong way, my job as a man, forget about being the employer, is to protect.
All right. Oh, Brother Al, the man already needs to know how to be a protector of everything in his care.
Oh, yes, most definitely. You know, for me, I believe that it's an instinct that God gave us already to be able to protect. You know, if you can't protect, then obviously you're kind of useless. You know, you can't protect your family. You can't protect your items. You can't protect your home. You know, you definitely have to be able to be a protector. You have to learn that. That should be taught by your father or whatever male figure you have in your life if you don't have that. But that's very essential to be a protector.
All right. Minister AJ, what are we saying regarding, you know, the man already having this under his belt, being a protector?
Yeah, he needs to have that under his belt. Now, I'm a little man, a little, you know, little in stature, don't look like I can protect much, but protection goes a whole lot farther, you know, and further than we think. You know, David was able to use his head and come up with a plan to defeat Goliath. So I want to talk about the protection plan. You know what I'm saying? Did you plan as a man to not, because protection also goes further than just the physical. You know, can I protect my family from suffering? Did I plan out my finances and save before I got married? Or let's go with the protection plan. After this woman has done everything to take care of you, do you have her out in these streets looking silly, you know, because you chose the dessert of the day, the dessert of the day, rather than your destiny? You know, are you going to fall down for 5 minutes of pleasure, you know what I'm saying, and allow this woman to suffer and look stupid after she done took care of you and your kids? Where is the protection plan?
Wow. All right. I like that, the protection plan. Okay. Hey, let's talk about, we're coming down. Let's see, which one do I want to, okay. I'm kind of tossed as to which one I want to end with. Let's take this one. A man has to already know how to be in the presence of God before he gets into a relationship, Brother Al.
Oh, yes. You know, you definitely need that, because that's what's going to help you go forward with all the things we just talked about. You know, having that presence of God, knowing how to go to God when there's a situation, knowing how to read your word and understand your word. So that's definitely something that's needed. That's going to alleviate all your other problems. That's going to help you right there by having that relationship with God.
All righty. Minister AJ, a man has to know how to be in the presence of God before he gets into a relationship.
Absolutely. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So how do I even know how to be good? And, you know, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. You know, as a man, it's my job to cultivate not only my wife but my family and be able to lead out. And, you know, I forgot what the question was just that quick. In the presence,
yep.
There we go.
In
the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. You know, we have too many people that go into relationships being so incomplete. You know, they have no joy. And joy is Jesus on you. You know, so when you're going through the tough times, if you've known how to be in the presence of the Lord, which means you've got the downloads of God, the Bible is the will of God, you now know how to direct your family, because you know the will of God. You know the purpose of God. You know the promises of God. How do I even speak life over my family if I spent no time with God? I don't even know the promises of God. I don't even know what God, you know, requires of me as a man. How do I know how to be a husband without the presence of the Lord? You don't know anything correctly or properly without the presence of the Lord.
All right. Okay, Pastor KL, what you got?
Well, except the man builds, except the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. You know, except the Lord builds a house, you are the house. You know, we got to get out of this church fall church, but you are the church. Except the Lord builds you. You know, except God that's in you. You know. Everything that we're doing is in vain, because we can't give correction. We can't give correct direction. You know, we can't do any of these things if we don't have God in our hearts. You know, if God is not the center of our joy, then how can we spread the joy? How can we spread love? If we don't have the love in us, then how can we do that? So if we don't have God first and foremost, relationships are over. You are only the head of your house if you follow God. If you no longer follow God, then whoever the one in the house who follows God becomes the head of your house. So you have to allow God to move to you. You have to allow God to order your steps. We keep on saying the steps of a good man shall be ordered by God, but we want to be good men, but we don't want to be ordered by God. So this is where the problem is. We have to first be ordered by God. We have to first accept God and believe that God can do, he can do anything other than fail. So whatever he tells you to do, he has already equipped you to do it. But you got to trust and believe that whatever God says, it's for your good. It may not feel good, but it's for your good. So you need to gird up your loins. You need to put on the whole armor of God and learn from the master. He's not going to leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you even until the end. So even when it seems like you're overly stressed, even when it seems like you don't have enough money, even when it seems like you don't have these goals in place, even when it seems like the time management is off, if you follow God, God will take care of you.
All right. You trying to tell me you got to leave now, so you gave your closing? All righty.
Hey, I got my help coming up.
Here's what I want to throw in before I give the last one. Be unapologetically about God. Ooh. Brother Al, before you get into that relationship, you have to live a life that's unapologetic when it comes to God.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm not apologizing because I love the Lord. I'm not apologizing because I'm trying to follow the word that he put in the book. You know, yeah, definitely. I'm not apologizing for that. So you definitely need to have that. You know, I've seen somebody with that who's going to church a lot and, you know, doing the word, and when they met somebody, all that changed. And I'm looking like, wow, you know, because this person don't go to church, so they decided not to go. Oh, no. I am not apologizing for loving the Lord.
All righty. Minister AJ, you have to be unapologetic about God.
Yes, I'm not apologizing. Yeah, I'm definitely not apologizing about having God, because I'm nothing without God. You know, God created me. You know, in him do I move, live, and have my well-being. Everything that I have is because of God. And if he created me, who has the blueprints or has the best blueprint for your life? So I'm not apologizing to you, because I know God can lead me and guide me properly, save me all the mistakes and trouble that you can't, and you can't do for me what God can do. You are not my provider. You know, you can't heal me. You know, you can't do any of that stuff. So, listen, I'm definitely going with God, and I'm not apologizing for it. I know where my source and where my help comes from.
All right. Pastor KL, be unapologetic about God before you get into that relationship. Mute button again.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I believe there were some examples in the Bible, and there were three guys that I heard of, and they said, listen, oh, king, I don't mean to offend you. I know who you are. You believe that you're the king, but the God that I serve is able to deliver me out of your hands. I don't make no apologies for that. But if he don't, you know, he's still able. You know, so there was two more guys named Paul and Silas, and they knew that they was wrongfully someplace. And in spite of where they were, they began to praise God and worship God and pray to God. They made no apologies for who they for where they were. They wasn't even mad at God, because they understood who God was. So if God is in my life, if God be for me, then who can be against me? There is no need for me to apologize for anything that I know that God has set forth, that I know that God has placed me in a position that, and you may not like it, but there's no reason for me to apologize, because I know it's for my good, and I know it's working out in my favor. So either you'll catch on, like the jails man and say, hey, I need to know that God. Because they say, hey, don't kill yourself. We're all here. Or even you'll catch on because you have the vision and say, hey, did not we throw in three? But it looks like. And they said it looks like the Son of Man. So it's no need for me to apologize, because at the end, God is going to come through and he's going to show himself mighty. In Jesus' name we pray.
All righty. Oh, Brother Al, this is how we're coming down. The plane has landed. A man has got to already be persistent with keeping the word of God before he gets into a relationship.
First I would like to ask Kale, where should I send that offering? Being he just did service, I want to send an offering in. My brother, yes. But yes, you have to be persistent with the word of God before. You know, taking care of all these things first before you get in that relationship is going to help you. It isn't going to do nothing but help you. As we've been saying throughout this broadcast, without God, you're nothing. This is where all your stuff is coming from, all your help, all your sanity, you know, all your blessings. You know, God said he will open the window and pour out the blessings. You know, so you have to be persistent with his word. If you persist with his word, you know all of these things. That's because you're reading, you're studying. So you know all these things, and you know the goodness of him, God. And this is what's going to follow you into this relationship to help you be the better man in your relationship, to help you be the leader, the protector. Everything that we spoke about, this is what's going to push you over that line to be all those things.
All righty. Oh, Pastor KL, you have to be persistent with following the word of God before that relationship. New button.
Man, the Bible says that word that I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You have to be consistent in everything that you do. You know, you have to trust in the Lord with all of thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You've got to believe that even when it don't look right, that God is still on the throne. You've got to know that even when it don't feel right, that it's for your good. You've got to know that God will not put you in a place without equipping you, without already setting up. You've got to believe that he'll put you in a place and make somebody give you the first case. You got to believe that God is totally in control in spite of what it feels like, in spite of what it looks like. Sometimes he'll put you in a place where you're uncomfortable, where it's unknown, and yet provides. If he looks over the sparrow, then I know he watches over me. You just got to trust God, and everything will work out.
Amen. Mr. AJ. You have got to be persistent with following the word of God before the relationship.
Absolutely. You don't know how to do anything without being consistent in the word. And, you know, I hear God saying, you know, you can't lead with a consistent limp. You can't do it. You know, the Bible says the word is a lamp unto our path. You as a man can't walk straight without the word of God. So therefore, you definitely not going to be able to lead anything or anybody without having the word, and that word being a lamp unto your path. The Bible also says, you know, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross and deny himself daily. You need the word of God. Before we can get to consistency, we've got to get the concepts. The concepts is in the word of God. How do I know how to lead? How do I know how to move without the concepts of the Bible, without the principles, without the will of God? So you got to be consistent in the word. It will teach you how to be everything that you need to be as a man, but it's in the Bible. You got to be consistent in that word. Can't move without it. Don't leave home without it.
Amen. You gentlemen have done a fantastic job today helping us understand the things that men need to have before entering a relationship. And sounds to me like you ain't going to get it done unless you do it the way God has given you to instruct us this morning. Thank you so much, and we pray that you have a blessed not only day, but a blessed weekend. You have definitely sent us off on a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
All right, you too. And my brother,
thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Boy, we got a lot of food today. We got breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, the whole nine yards. All right. Well, let me give the benediction, and we're going with the original benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Numbers 6, 22-26. Amen. That was definitely filling today. You know, we are so busy saturating ourselves into this, the way the world does things, that we miss what God wants us to do as men and as women. And, you know, having a lot of conversation with men, you constantly hear, how do they say it, you know, oh, you know, I got to be a man, or a man does things this way, or a man does things that way. And we've been talking about dating and the things you do, the things you shouldn't do, what's right, what's wrong. And a lot of times we forget that there's preparation, that there should be preparation for this thing called relationships, this intimate relationship. You can't jump into a relationship as you know, as all willy-nilly. You know, we just had a nice, good layout of the things that you need to have before you get into the relationship, before you get into the relationship. And we've been talking about, for the past couple of weeks, things that you don't say on the first date. And that's because you have not prepared yourself. If you had prepared yourself properly, for entering into a relationship, if you were to have gotten into a good relationship with God, that first relationship, that's most important. If we master having communication with God and making sure that God is the one who's ordering our steps, as has been said, then you don't get to the table or go out on a date and you're mentioning certain things. You know, it looks like you're eating a lot. You know, those are things that you don't say because you would have already thought about the fact that it was potentially insulting. And the bad part about it, I'm noticing, is that there are no precautions. There's no, what if this doesn't land right? No, in this world, everybody's got to accept who you are and what you do. And my Bible tells me something very differently. And again, we just got finished hearing all of the things that we need to do to prepare to be in a relationship. And we definitely heard from God today. Absolutely heard from God today. There's no way in the world you would be able to give sound judgment and a sound word
Your ministry would not be intact if you did not allow God to give you the words. Every morning I pray, God, thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for choosing us to minister for you. And I pray that your words would be our words. It seems to be some level of us, we're supposed to be accepting of all of the things that you want the other person to be accepting of. Not that there's a standard that you need to live by, but because you want to do things a certain way, because you don't want to do things a certain way, because things that the world has told you how it's done, because you've gone through some aches and pains, because you've gone through some things that, you know, a period of time when you had no say. Now everybody's got to be bombarded with what you feel and what you say and how it's supposed to be, because if you had no control at one point, God takes a back seat to all of that. And we heard today that even in the basics, God has got to sit up front. God speaks about everything that will go on in our life in that word that we pick up. It talks about whether you need to have a job or not. That's not optional. Now, job, work, interchangeable, but let God choose what you do. I work for God. I don't leave my house to work for God, but I work for God. I no longer have a conventional job. So that's what I'm saying. We have to be ready to accept and understand what God has for our life. And you have to understand that you need to get this all in line before you get into a relationship. I'm sorry, she should not have to find you bumbling and stumbling around and you say, I'm ready for a relationship, because the fact of the matter is, no, you're not. And what are you bringing to the table when you're not prepared, when you're ill prepared for that relationship? What are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing God to the table? Is God being, is he the first thing in your life? That's going to help us with all of the things that we talked about. Whether you have a job first, whether you learn how to be a protector, whether you pursue, you know, the time alone that you need, whether you find out about your jealous streak, whether you figure out how to manage those finances, whether you manage stress well or not, your time management is on point. Hey, all of these things are going to matter. That baggage, oh, that's a big one. Communicating, those are big things that only God can teach you. Oh, only God can teach you those things. Don't kid yourself. Don't think that you can live this life and do the barest thing without the Lord. Don't let this world tell you that you can live without God, because as we heard, you can't. There is nothing without the Lord. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my men of warfare for going at it today and letting you know what God says about being prepared for a relationship. I want to thank you for listening and pitching in and just being a part of this conversation all week. Could not have done it without you. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Monday, where we're shaking the Monday morning blues once again, God spare our life. I love you.